Welcome again. I'm trying to twin with Jeff today. So my name is Ben. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and I have a very limited supply in my closet. So sorry about that. I love what our discipleship cohort people had to share. I really hope that if that's something in your world, that you would really take advantage of. What's so fun is there's so many great events that are happening in the life of our church. There's a discipleship cohort that's coming up. But there's this event that's coming up in a couple weeks, a women's karaoke brunch. With mimosas. And I'm like, dude, that sounds dope. They don't realize karaoke is my all-time favorite thing. I'm like, Pilar, I want to come. And she's like, no, you don't get to come to this one. Because I always like to crash women's ministry events. She's like, no, this is not for you. And I'm like, okay, Pilar, what if I do a really good job? She's like, no, not for you. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to show off my karaoke skills, and I need you to have my back so that Pilar will realize if this party is gonna be dope, then she needs me here. So I need you to give me a love. Hit it, Davis. Let's do this thing together. Come on, a little louder. Here we go. Okay, you're feeling it. Here it comes. Where it began. I can't believe I'm knowing, I can't read, okay. But then I know I'm going strong. Oh yeah, you're feeling it. Come on, Russ, this is for you, baby. Was it the spring? And spring turned into summer. Who'd have believed I'd come along? All right, this part, you gotta help me out. Come on, everybody. Hands, come on, people. Touching hands. And maybe I'll be there. You know what's so funny is I have like this total bah humbug personality because I'm a podcast guy. I'm not a music guy. I am a reader guy. I'm not a radio person. And I forget that I actually really like singing. I love to actually have fun sometimes, you know? And singing is like the best way to pull that off. And in fact, last night, Katie and I, we went to an 80s cover band in Napa at this venue, and we just screamed and sang our guts out. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so fun. And we were just laughing, like, oh my gosh, we just needed this. You know, it was so fun. Every song, every word, like all these songs I haven't heard in like 20 years just came rolling back. Lyrics I had no idea that were in me just poured out of me. You know, we were just dancing and having a great time. And what was wild is all these songs that we're singing, A, the words were all in me. And then more than that, I was like, oh my goodness, immediately I was like reminded of my first crush and I was like, my first breakup and my first heartbreak. And then I had certain songs that like had like moments in my life that just were crystallized. Like, oh my gosh, remember when we were in college and at camp and we're like, ah! And we're like, it was just 2 hours of just nostalgia. And then the lights go on and it was all just like Gen Xers. I'm like, womp womp, look at us, you know? But I'm a Gen Xer, it's my people. I had a great time. But what's wild is a couple years ago too, I went to a concert. I went and saw Noah Kahan with my daughter. And the same thing, it wasn't all the Gen Xers anywhere, but it was all these Gen Zers who have all this anxiety and depression, and 8,000 of them. And they were just singing their guts out, expressing their deep emotions and anxieties and fears. And they were just, oh, it was this incredible moment. I'm like, I wish I was a Gen Zer and I had anxiety. I'm like, this would be my thing. Because it was beautiful. And it was like, that's what singing did. Singing did this thing and it brought us all together. Because for whatever reason, and I think it's unique how God made us, singing does this thing where it isn't just an action, but it takes these words, it's a way to express our deepest guts, right? It's actually a way to take what we know in our head and actually begin to believe it in our guts, in our soul, in our very being. right? And we know that to be true. Like there's songs that just minister to us, that care for us, that speak of our deepest longings. There's songs that teach us things. Like I'm an epic gambler because when I was 5 years old, I heard that you need to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. Like, done, it's in me, you know? And what's wild is you realize songs, more than anything, what they do is they do these two things, I think, the most. They get things lodged in our head so that we remember them forever. And then ideally, we get them to actually lodge in our hearts so that we would believe them forever. But here's a little fun thing I thought we could do together to remember how far back your memories go. So see if you can finish this. When I find myself in times of trouble. Yeah, good job. All the old people rock that one. That's right. How about this? Okay, from just a small town girl. Okay, you got it. Good job. Give me a break. Give me a break. Yeah, how sad, right? You have these Kit Kat bar memories seared in your brain. This is the worst one, too. Like a good neighbor. Dude, State Farm is like, you're welcome, right? So, singing is in us. But what a bummer that State Farm is the thing that's rumbling around in our head, you know? Wouldn't it be nice if the deeper things, the most important things, were actually rumbling around, not just in our head, but also in our hearts? And however God set up the world and set up the universe and set up humans, singing is the way that God chose to make that happen. And in every culture, in every part of the world, for all of human history, when people gathered for celebration, for joy, for sorrow, and for worship, singing is this thing. And so we're in the middle of this series called The Sacred Gathering, which we think, gosh, Sunday morning we come and we gather as the people. This is a sacred gathering. This is God's people coming together. And while we're informal and we're warm-hearted, there actually is a liturgy that we follow. There's a ritual and rules and systems and structures that we follow that really almost every Christian does in some version. Now, the styles are a little different. Some of the words are a little different. But there's these liturgies that Christians have done over and over again for thousands and thousands of years. And so what we've chosen to do for this series is look at all the little parts of our service and just draw them out and talk about why it's important, why we intentionally do these things. And me, the non-singer, I got why we sing. But it's important because even as a non-singer, it was such a good discipline to go, oh my goodness, why do we actually sing? Why do we spend almost half of our worship service singing? Now, music people are like, well, yeah, we should spend our whole worship service singing. For the tone deaf people, they're like, ooh, that's a tough one. But whether you like love it or you're tone deaf and hate singing, the reality is singing is vitally important to our walk with God. It's what Christians do. It's what we do. And we want to talk about this morning why, in fact, we actually do it. So the first thing we're going to take a look at is this idea that God's people have always been a singing people. God's people, well, it's funny, humans in general have always been a singing people, but we see throughout the scriptures over and over again that God's people are a singing people. And in fact, in Exodus, the Jewish people, they leave Egypt, they cross the Red Sea, and they go to Mount Sinai, and God drops down the law. And the way that God says in Exodus 15, God says to Moses, and basically teach them how to sing these things. And what's wild is, I don't know if you've ever been to a bar mitzvah or if you've ever been to a temple service, they sing the scriptures. Now us, our brains are, you know, we all have brain rot or whatever they call it. But in the good old days, they would memorize, Jewish people, Jewish kids would memorize the whole scriptures. But they would do it because it was all set to tune. It was all set to music. And so all of the scriptures, the entire Torah was in the guts of the Jewish people, was in their heads and it was in their hearts, and that they were singing people. Well, in Psalm, and then all of a sudden, 3,000 years ago, 500 years after Mount Sinai, you have King David, and then you have some of the kings after that. And these guys were incredible poets and incredible musicians, and they wrote these songs that got passed down from generation to generation. And the Jewish people and the Christian people took on this, that said, these songs, which are poems, but they're not just poems, they're actually songs that people sing, were actually the prayer journal of the Christians. If we want to know, gosh, how do we pray? What do we pray about? What are the things that are important to God? What are the things that are important to us? What's legal? What's okay to pray about? The Psalms give us that. And when we read the Psalms, we realize there's these songs that cover everything of praise and lament and tragedy and war and murder and heartbreak and all the things. And so one of my favorite Psalms is right here in Psalm 18. And you can see this in some of it above the writing. It says, for the director of music of David, the servant of the Lord. And it just talks about, or says, or someone will say, as sung to the tune of this. But I love this verse. It says, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and my horn of my salvation and stronghold. And there's just so many songs that we think of our worship songs that just express our love for God. And it's so fun when you read the Psalms, you realize, gosh, there's so many actual songs we sing that are rooted in these songs. And so forever, Christians have been singing songs as part of their gathered worship. For most of the time, it was actually singing the Psalms. Well, in the New Testament church, what happened was all these Christians started gathering, and there's this incredible thing that happened at Pentecost where the Holy Spirit then came and the God's actual Spirit came and lived inside of people. And part of their expression of worship was to sing the hymns and the Psalms from their history, but then to also sing new songs, to recognize, no, our faith is alive and it's active. And we actually don't want to just sing about what God did 3,000 years ago or 1,000 years ago. We want to be singing about what God's doing in us and through us right now. And so this is one of the teachings that Paul says in the book of Colossians. He gives this incredible teaching. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. Then he goes on to say this, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through the psalms, through hymns, and the songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And this is just the picture that we get that ancient people did it. We get that there's some songs that are codified that God wants us to go, these songs are important forever. But God also wants us to have a fresh expression of God's love and affection. And so sometimes, you know, there's these new worship songs, and you're like, this song is horrible. Well, come on. God's doing new things. We should be paying attention to what God's doing, new things. And these songs that are new to you are an expression of what God's doing in a new generation, a new grouping of people. We all can't sing holy, holy, holy as a hymn, which is a beautiful song, which for a certain generation, like, there's no other song. It's a great hymn. But we want to have psalms and hymns and new and newer songs. And then the last thing, I love this. It says this in Revelation, at the very end of the Bible. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And may the church say amen to that. What is wild is, Not only do we sing, but what ends up happening at the very end of all things in Revelation, we sing with all of creation, with all of the saints who are already in heaven, with all of the angels, with all of creation, we get to join and sing in our worship to God. And if you're tone deaf, gosh, I'm so sorry. You have to really wrestle with that down with God, because a giant lane of who God is, of how he expresses his love, how he wants love expressed to him, is through worship, is through singing, actual singing. And so we took a look at this idea, right, that God's people have always been a singing people. But what's wild is too, is that singing is actually a communal act. And I think, I remember when the iPhone and iPods and all those things kind of came into existence, I was already an adult, but I was doing youth ministry. And there used to be a rhythm where whenever we go on road trips, everyone would have to listen to the same music together, right? You had to pick a song. You had to pick a CD or an 8-track for Rudy. But, you know, you had to pick it, and you would have to listen. And our rule was, because of all the kids at that time were all dirty kids, and there's always cuss words. And I said, listen, we can listen to whatever song you want, whatever cuss words, but any cuss word, you just owe me $1. And some kids were like, this song is worth $5. I'm like, let's go then. And we'd go. But we'd actually have to listen it together, which meant that our trip, our drives together was a communal experience. But somewhere along the line, we got iPods and iPhones, and we all put in our earbuds, and I go on road trips with my own kids, and we all just go, and we have these individualized experiences. So we share space, but we actually don't share space. And singing, communal singing, is actually one of those things. It's a way that we actually get to participate together. So much of our life is simply observing, right? We're at home, and we watch the football game. It's sad, right? We watch it. Sometimes we might even be with some friends, but there we go. right? Or we go onto social media and we scroll and we scroll and we scroll. But most of what we do, even right now, you're looking at me and I'm talking at you and it's kind of, you're observing. But singing together means we actually step in and we have this moment together. And we realize when we do things together, how important that actually really is, right? When we serve together, when we go on like mission trips together or we work hard together, when you're working side by side and you do a thing together, like you, it breaks down walls, it builds friendship. You're like, oh, you're my guy, right? Well, singing is a way to do that. And what's great is the science actually proves it. So there's a couple of quotes I want to share with you. This was from a study out of Oxford. And it says this, that group singing has been found to produce higher levels of trust and cooperation than other group activities. And to be particularly fast, sorry, and also to be a particularly fast way for strangers to feel socially bonded and part of a shared community. My wife met her best friend last night singing Bon Jovi together. This lady was like, you? And all of a sudden they're like, I guess we're friends now. Like it was like the weirdest thing, right? In any other world, like, I don't know you. This European Journal of Public Health says this, systematic reviews of choir programs report that group singing increases positive emotions, reduces anxiety and depression, and gives participants a stronger sense of belonging and emotional well-being, in part because it helps them regulate difficult feelings together. Isn't that wild? Like singing together actually is good for your biology. It actually helps you to regulate. There's a song, one of my favorite worship songs, and Christians have been singing it for a very long time all over the world. And what I want you to do is if you just close your eyes, and if you know this song, let's just sing it together. But just close your eyes and let's sing this song together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You know what's wild about that? We never sing that song at this church. If you've been to this church for 40 years, like, I don't even know that song, or I've heard it once or twice, but it is a marker that Christians have sung in Christian churches all over the world forever. Right? And you're like emotionally regulated. You're like, oh, good job. All right. So here's the last thing. This one, and this one's kind of a kicker, because like I said, I'm a little bit of a bah humbug when it comes to singing for whatever. But I think it's important for us to recognize that we need to be singers because it's actually one of God's love languages. Have you ever read that book, The Love Languages? The idea is that we all experience love a certain way. And then what happens is we all automatically give love to the other person based on how we experience it. Right? So here's a perfect example. I thought Katie's love gift was serving. So I'm like, dude, I can do the dishes all day. Well, my daughter, she's 18 now, and for Christmas, she was asking what she wanted, and it turns out she's into jewelry right now, so she's like, I want this, I want this, I want this. And I'm like, gosh, you're really into jewelry. It's so wild. I guess I lucked out because your mom, she does not like jewelry at all. And oh my gosh, so we've been married almost 30 years, and I like said that like with my full chest, like, yeah, that's real. And Kate looks at me, she's like, what are you talking about? I married a youth pastor, and I just kind of died to it, but I love jewelry. And I was like, oh. Right, for 30 years, I thought she experienced it one way, so I met her one way, and it turned out there's a whole other lane that's way more expensive that I had no idea about, but now I gotta do something about it, right? But the same is true with God. God's invisible, and so God interacts with us a certain way, and we think, oh, this is what God wants, this is what God wants. But the reality is God's made it clear throughout Scripture, says, no, if you wanna, like, I love you, and we're like, yes, God, thank you so much for loving me. But God's like, if you want to love me, then you need to love me the way that I want to be loved. And singing is one of those things. In the book of Zephaniah, it says this, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. And again, this is ancient. This is ancient, ancient old men written down. They don't talk about delighting. That's like Gen Z language. This is old, old ancient. This is God saying he will take great delight in you. In this love, he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice with you over singing. And you just realize if humans are made in the image of God, and all humans sing, and you see that even God longs for his angels and all of creation to sing. And you see that God himself actually expresses his love and affection by singing over you. Then even if you are not a singer, but you want to love God, it's not about you, actually. It's about loving God, right? I don't like jewelry. My wife likes jewelry. I want to love her the way she wants to be loved. And so we come and we gather as a church to sing because God loves it when his people sing. And so we want to speak God's love language. And it's really, there's three parts of it. One is singing, which is so important because it's, again, it's this heartfelt devotion towards God. It's our hearts saying, God, we love you, not just with our head, not with our theology, not even by serving you, but with our actual devotion, we love you. And singing is a way to prove that. We also, of course, love God by living rightly, both internally with living a holy life, and then we love God publicly with our righteousness, that we be are people who do justice and love mercy as we walk humbly with God. And so we don't just do things, we don't just live rightly. Those are important ways we love God, but we also express our heart-forward devotion to him. Well, what I want to do is I want to invite out Ben Z, and he's going to help me with the last part of my sermon here. So Ben, come on out. We'll try to get this out of the way here. Because what happens is when we sing on a Sunday morning, you know, we have four songs, sometimes we have five. If you go to worship night, there's a whole bunch. But we think, gosh, well, what do we pick and why do we pick and how do those songs work? And I thought it'd be just kind of fun for us as a congregation to go to know what's happening in your mind, in your heart, what we think about as a church, why those songs happen to where they happen, and for you to just be paying attention, because like, certain songs, even though they're all about God, they still all do certain things, right? There's certain love songs that talk about our great love and affection, certain love songs that are all about heartbreak, right? And in the same way, not all songs about God do the same thing. And so we're gonna talk a little bit about our order of worship, and then we're gonna practice singing some of these songs together. Thanks for doing this, Ben. Yeah, this is a little bit of a risk, so appreciate, not for Ben though, but I have to stand here awkwardly while we're gonna sing a little. Okay, so what happens is, and, you know, some of you guys miss it every now and then because church shows starts at 9, so sometimes you miss it, and it happens. But the very thing, the first thing that we do in worship is we do a call to worship. And a call to worship is us saying, hey, we're here, and we're actually here to worship. And again, in our American world in Marin, we're like, no, how is church for me? What am I getting fed? Is it for me? Is it my thing? I liked it. I didn't like it. But the reality is the truest framing is, no, we come to worship to worship. This is about God. Sunday is about celebrating, worshiping God. And so the first thing we do is a call to worship, and then we do a song that's really a declarative song. It's a song that says, God, this is who you are. And also, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Our hearts aren't even warmed up yet. We haven't even figured out all the things that are going on. And so we have a song. We usually have songs that declare who God is. It's the truth of who God is. It's the reality of who God is that we know in our head and that we're using this song as a posture to get that, to begin our hearts to get postured in. So that's our call to worship song.
So here's an example of a call to worship song that we like to do right now. So sing this with me once you catch on to it.
Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your way is the only way for me. It's a narrow road that leads to life, but I want to be on it. It's a narrow road, but the mercy's wide, cause you're good on your promise. We say, take you at your word, set it out, believe it. I've seen how good it works. Started, you'll complete it. I'll take you at your word.
Yeah, right? It's a song that just says, this is who God is. This is what we're doing. This is why we're here. We're warming up the engine like an old car on a winter day, right? We're just getting it started up. Well, that's one of, so every song, we begin the worship like that. And then there's kind of these two different categories of songs that we also kind of plop into a worship service when we're thinking about what kind of things we want to do. Because again, singing is a way that we frame our brains. It's how we remember things. It's how we memorize things. And not only do we want to know them in our head, but we want to know them in our actual guts. And so one of the categories is a category about our identity. They're teaching songs. They're songs that we want lodged in our head and lodged in our heart that tell us about who we are like who we are as people, right? We all have negative self-talk. We all have those tapes in our heads, and we actually want those tapes to be chucked, and we want those to be framed by who God is. And so there's incredible worship songs that help us go, this is who I am in Christ. And then there's other great teaching songs that say, oh my goodness, this is who God is. If you want to remember who God is, there's these identity songs. So we're going to do an identity song about who we are in Christ and about who God is.
Yeah. So one of the things about identity songs, here's a, this one is just explicit. So, your good Father is who you are, is who you are, is who you are, and I'm loved by you, is who I am. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's the bridge. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. And this is another one that we've been doing a lot. Christ is my firm foundation. So he is. He's the rock on which I stand when everything around me is shaking. Yes, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. And so I would.
You know what's awesome? Like if you have that song in your head and in your mind and you're just navigating, well, your phone or the news or the chaos, and just be like, what's happening, God? And like, you just lose your mind. But if you actually have these songs in your head and your heart and you remember, oh my goodness, no, Christ is my foundation, not our stupid political leaders and not the brokenness that's happening all in the big bad world and not the terrifying things that are happening or my own personal life. Like when these are songs that we don't just sing, but we want rooted in us. So we go, he won't fail. Wouldn't that be nice if that was like your frame? You just walk through your life knowing God is not gonna fail. Just how your entire life and day would be different. I love it. There's another category. So one of, you know, there's this call to worship. There's songs that teach us about our identity. And then there's songs that help us actually like have our posture. Because singing, one of the things that singing does is it forces our body and our heart to actually enter into things that are different than what we're used to, right? There's songs of praise that are fun. We say, lift your hands or clap your hands. The Psalms say this all the time, clap your hands and hit the tambourines. Like these are things that we're telling people to be doing. Sometimes there's songs about confession. And especially if you're really going through it, like it's old. Like there's a psalm called Psalm 51, but confessing, creating me a clean heart, O God, is like an oldie but a goodie. But like, you know, there's to have these beautiful songs that you can go, oh, here's this cry of my heart, and it's about confession or lament, or just these different things that help tune us there. And so there's one song that we just sing all the time, which again, these posture songs are really hard because it's our desire, but if we actually put them into practice, it's like really hard. But again, we're allowing these songs to train us, to tune us. And so this is one of those songs I think is beautiful and hard, but really how we want to get there.
Yeah, this is one of the ones that we do often for this kind of song. Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering more. Surrendering all. Find me, Lord, as you draw me near, desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. We sing, yes, I surrender. Oh, I surrender. I want to know you more. I want.
That song is so haunting because it's so beautiful and so terrifying. And again, what I love about songs and singing and the practice of it is I might not naturally pick that song, but then when I come to gathered worship and God speaks to our worship leaders and goes, hey, this is a song that we should be thinking about, to be compelled to have my posture adjust. And then God always is like, will you surrender this? Will you surrender this? And here I am singing. God's like, and this? And again, these songs, right, are the ways we don't just intellectually go, yes, God. We go, oh, in my guts, God, this is what I want to do. And then the way that most of our worship services end is with a category of songs that we call high praise. And again, the call to worship is that too. It's a declarative, like this is who God is. But usually by the end of the service, right, we've had an hour and 15 minutes together. We're warmed up. We've hopefully encountered God. We've been inspired by the word. We've sung. We're like, okay, God, you are a good God. And there's a way that we respond. And really the way that we see people respond through all of scripture, again, is it's not about me. The more that we fall in love with God, the more that we see God, the more we see God at work, you know, we get smaller and smaller and smaller, and Jesus gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so high praise is like the ultimate expression of this is who God is. Whether I like it or not, whether I sing or not, like this is who God is. And because we want to join with God, we want to sing to God because it's his spiritual love language. We want to actually not just be loved by God, but we want to love God in return. So we have these songs that we go, okay, God, this is who you are. And sometimes what I think about what's cool about the high praise songs is when you read through Revelations, like so many of our high praise songs come straight from Revelation, and we are actually singing, again, like I said earlier, with the saints who are already in heaven, with the angels, with all of creation, like, and we are joining. Like, talk about like that when I talked about how communal singing, like, does this thing, it emotionally regulates us, it bonds us together. We in high praise do the ultimate expression of communal singing, and it's my favorite lane of worship music. And so, what I thought we would do is we could wrap up our service, and we're going to spend a little time in high praise. Let's do this. If you'd stand together, let me pray for us, and then we'll get after it. It's a little different than we said. Is that okay? Okay, great. Let's pray. Heavenly Father and our gracious God, I love that you're a God who loves us and who delights in us, and you just ooze nonstop love and affection. And we as toddlers and as teenagers, we're so grateful for that, and we receive that and we soak it up, and we ask that you would shape us and change us and heal us. And as we grow and as we mature and as we adult in our faith, I pray that we wouldn't just be receivers of love, but we would gladly and long to turn that love back to you and to love you in return, and even willing to love you not the way we receive love, but the way that you long to be receiving love. And so as we wrap up this service, God, we just pray that you would hear our voices, your children who love you, who worship you, who recognize what a good, good father you are. And we want to join with all of creation to give you all the honor and all the praise that you deserve, both now and forever. And all of God's kids said, amen and amen.
This is a movement of songs that have just stood the test of time the last decade and plus for high praise songs. So sing with us. You were the word at the beginning, born with God the in glory.